RNZ Pacific News ni Sambola Vinaka, Ngo Okoroi Hawkins. Fiji's health ministry says travellers who arrived from African countries in the middle of last week have tested positive for COVID-19. That was before Fiji knew about the Omicron variant. But it's not yet known whether the travellers have the variant. News editor from RNZ Pacific, Susana Leato, reports.
Health Secretary James Fong says the infected passengers have been quarantined in line with stringent measures applied to countries Fiji considers red zone. Their COVID tests will be sent overseas for genetic sequencing. Yesterday, Fiji opened its border to vaccinated tourists arriving from Australia and the United States. More than 1,000 holidaymakers landed in Nandi and another 1,000 are expected today.
It will now be the third week of December at the earliest before Tongans find out who their new leader will be. Voters went to the polls on November the 18th to elect 17 people's representatives, with the nobles choosing 9 from within their cohort. Ever since, there has been a period of intense horse trading from which the caretaker Prime Minister, Pohiwa Tuionetoa, and his former education minister, Siaosi Sopaleni, have emerged as the candidates for the top job. It had been expected that Parliament would meet this week to elect the Prime Minister, but our correspondent advises that the date has been put back another 2 weeks. After a five-year absence, the New Zealand Defence Force returned to Solomon Islands today for more peacekeeping work. The capital, Honiara, has been shaken by major political unrest, prompting a request for regional help. Johnny Blades reports.
15 soldiers are heading for Honiara today to be followed by a group of about 50 soldiers and police at the weekend. They'll join around 200 defence and police personnel deployed to the Solomons in recent days by Australia, Fiji and Papua New Guinea. The governments involved say they don't expect the mission to last more than a month. But the deployments are starting to resemble the regional assistance mission to Solomon Islands, which only withdrew in 2017 after a 14-year stint in response to ethnic tensions and political mayhem.
Meanwhile, New Zealand's Foreign Minister, Nanaia Mahuta, says security personnel deployed to Solomon Islands will work in the community to try and calm tensions. She says a looming vote of no confidence in the Solomon Islands Prime Minister Manase Songobare next week could trigger more violence.
It is a potential flashpoint, and we are anticipating that that may lead to potential further rioting. But again, the presence of a international peacekeeping effort often has a role to play to try and calm things down.
A former Nguyen premier was this afternoon medevaced to New Zealand several days after being admitted to hospital on the island. Young Vivian served 2 terms as premier of Niue, first in 1992 for 1 year, and later a longer stint from 2002 to 2008. Local media report the medevac flight arrived in Niue just after 3 p.m. local time. It's understood Mr. Vivian was accompanied on the flight by his son, Reverend Vili Kamupala Viviani. TV Niue reports the 86-year-old former premier is very active in the community and his absence was noted during the Alofi Ekalesia celebrations over the weekend. The United Kingdom has rejoined the Pacific community 17 years after severing ties with the regional organisation. It was one of the 6 founding members of the then South Pacific Commission in 1947, but pulled out after closing many of its high commissions in the Pacific. In the past 2 years, the UK has reopened high commissions and embassies in Tonga, Samoa and Vanuatu and expanded its Suva base. Samantha Harrison of the British High Commission in Suva says rejoining the community now is appropriate. Samantha Harrison says the UK is already a member of SPREP and a dialogue partner with the Pacific Islands Forum.
So it's part of our commitment to the region to support those institutions and to support the important work that SPC does on a range of issues that the UK also is keen to tackle, for example, climate change, promoting human rights and responsibilities, protecting the marine environment and supporting the prosperous development of Pacific economies.
Pacific organisations in Aotearoa New Zealand have been given a financial boost to help support more Pacifica into home ownership. The New Zealand government is distributing more than $41 million over the next 4 years to 15 specialising in budgeting and financial services. The goal is for Pacific peoples to gain improved housing conditions and home ownership through understanding financial literacy. Organisations who receive the funding boost include the Mortgage Hub Pacifica, Tangata Atumotu and Pacifica for Tomorrow. New South Wales health authorities in Australia have confirmed a seventh Omicron COVID case in the state, someone who has not been to Southern Africa. The ABC's Tim Swanston reports.
Health authorities found the new infection after undertaking genomic sequencing of confirmed COVID-19 cases who have recently returned from overseas. The person arrived on flight QR908 from Doha to Sydney on November 23rd. They are isolating in the special health accommodation with their family. Two other members of their household are confirmed cases of COVID-19. An urgent genomic sequencing is underway to confirm they have also been infected with the Omicron variant. The family haven't been in Southern Africa. New South Wales Health is concerned transmission may have occurred on the flight.
Some Australian states have beefed up restrictions on interstate arrivals as health experts wait to learn more about the dangers posed by the Omicron strain. Australia's Minister for Education has been forced to step down while an investigation goes on into allegations of an abusive extramarital affair. The minister, Alan Tudge, has been accused of physically and emotionally abusing a former staff member. He has rejected the allegations. In sports, the Fiji Airways Fiji Sevens interim coach, Siyasi Fuli, has restructured his game plan and approach towards the second leg of the Dubai Sevens tournament this weekend. Fuli says they started well against tough opponents, but fell short against the United States in the semi-finals. He says it's a matter of how well they can adjust, how well they bounce back and how they can prepare mentally and physically. Meanwhile, Fuli was proud of the Fiji Airways Fijiana Sevens progress and productivity, having achieved an impressive result, reaching the final leg in the World Rugby Sevens series for the first time. The second leg of the Dubai Sevens tournament will kick off on Friday local time, with the women playing Ireland and then the United States, and the men's team playing their first game on Friday against France and then Spain. The coach of Papua New Guinea's men's football team is confident despite a tough draw for the Oceania Confederation qualifiers in Qatar. The couples are in Group B with New Zealand, Fiji and New Caledonia. The OFC qualifiers will be played in a mini-tournament format featuring eight teams and consisting of a round-robin group stage, semi-finals and the final in the second half of March. PNG coach Marcos Guzmão says the couples are ready for any of their opponents in the group. Group A, meanwhile, consists of Solomon Islands, Tahiti, Vanuatu and a final place for Tonga or the Cook Islands, who will play off for participation. Former professional Solomon Islands footballer Batram Suri has been named as the manager of the Solomon Islands women's national team. Suri coached the Solomon Islands under-19s men's team to the semi-finals of the Oceania Under-19 Championship in 2018 and led the nation's under-23 men's team to second place in the OFC Men's Olympic Qualifying Tournament the following year. Batram Suri, who represented Solomon Islands as a player, says it's a wonderful opportunity to coach the women's team and will be a great challenge. And that's sports and news from RNZ Pacific.